Hey guys, welcome to another episode of This Week in Crypto for February 17th, 2018. In episode 7, we're going to talk about JP Morgan being involved in blockchain technology and blockchain research, as well as a lot of other things like Ellen DeGeneres, the whole Binance snafu that occurred. So there's a lot to talk about, and as you can tell, my voice is a bit raspy from speaking at the conference this week, so we're going to try to make this short. If not, it is what it is, but that's about it. So without any further ado, let's get started. So the first thing I really want to dive into is this article that caught my attention. It was speaking about how JP Morgan Chase is investing in blockchain. Now, the bank is using the blockchain, according to Umar Farooq, who was a banker until he became a blockchain leader at JP Morgan. Farooq went on to explain that the bank has been actively engaged with blockchain internally, looking towards distributed ledger technology as a solution to some of their problems. Now, if you remember, a while back when I was on my rant about Capital One not allowing their customers to purchase crypto for a brief week, now I alluded to a possibility that I wouldn't be surprised if banks were creating a state of fear and panic while doing their own research on the background, purchasing as much as they could, and allowing them to possibly control the crypto narrative in the future. It's interesting that the same banks that have been concerned for their customers' financial well-being, while bearing in mind that the banks end up taking advantage of us one way or another and our money. But in the back end, they've been working on exploring and investing in blockchain and crypto. Omer verified that JP Morgan has been exploring blockchain technology for the past 2 years, when the market, as he put it, was still nascent. What they've been doing is they've developed Quorum, which is based on Ethereum, and that's exactly what brought Jamie Morgan to GitHub. So, all of a sudden, which you and I know wasn't an overnight thing, they say that there's a potential in crypto and needs some evolution. Guys, how the hell is crypto going to evolve if you're trying to kill it? Well, maybe they just figured out that crypto isn't going to die. It can't be killed. The tech is here to stay. So that could be the reason for the change in their tune in cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology. And I wouldn't be surprised that after the Senate hearing from last week, since it was mostly positive news, I wouldn't be surprised that now the banks are coming out that they have been doing this on the back end. So here's the thing. Most of these banks don't really give a damn about us or the technology. They just care about getting in on a situation that will benefit their pockets and make them some money. We already knew this. So why are we surprised at the flip-flopping that they've been doing when it comes to the stance on crypto? And this is just one of the reasons. A bunch of us were talking about this, and some of the guys were saying, why do we need government regulation on crypto? Why does the government always have to dip into our pockets or put their hands into things where it doesn't belong? And honestly, guys, my perspective is that I think regulations are good for the crypto industry. Because as things get regulated, they become harder to kill. Now, this movement that you and I have started or are on, the movement of digital currency, is going to start to see even more wider adoption. The more it gets regulated, the more wider adoption is going to be because people are going to think that it's a safe place to invest in. The more lanes of entrance are going to be opened into the crypto world. And that's just good news. That just means more volume. And with volume comes an increase in the asset. Right? So that's going to be it's going to be good news for the investors like you and I who got into this game early, as well as for those who are getting into it now, but more importantly, for the technology, for the evolution of this technology. Speaking of technology, there are always going to be hiccups in tech, especially tech that is new. This week, there was the Binance exchange that went down for a bit. Now, before I go on my rant, I want to give kudos to Binance and their team for keeping their customers updated as frequently as they did. I use a lot of exchanges, and one of them is the Binance exchange. So when it went down, the first thing on my mind was, crap, what about the money I just transferred over to make some killer buys on altcoins in the depressed market? The second thing that went through my mind was, oh shit, while Binance is down, I won't be able to use that money to make those purchases. The one thing I didn't worry about was if Binance was going to go dark and or if they were going to take all my money. Why? Because I don't keep my money on exchanges, guys. This has been said over and over again, so I'll spare you the pain, but let's call this a friendly reminder. If you hold any of your coins on exchanges, you're basically playing Russian roulette. Now, a lot of people respond and say, but crypto can't be hacked. And I have to remind them that even though your crypto is virtually unhackable, and I say virtually because everything in technology changes so rapidly that eventually something or someone will find a way. But we have to remember right now, the exchanges can be hacked. And if my memory serves correctly, they have been hacked and continue to be hacked. So as more people and more money gets involved into this space, we're going to notice that there will be more attempts to hack these centralized exchanges. So it only makes sense to get your money off the exchanges. Guys, I only keep enough for me to make some rapid trades. Other than that, it is on a software wallet, it is on a desktop wallet, or it is on a hardware wallet like the Ledger Nano S or Treasure. So guys, be smart. Get your stuff off the exchanges. Put it in a wallet. That's the end of that. Now, getting back to the topic of Binance, in their case, it definitely wasn't a hack. But we had the asinine McAfee, who for the past 5 months has been really getting under my skin by pumping random altcoins and then creating a ton of fear and spreading false information. Well, in this case, he decided to start crying wolf. Basically, he was creating fear by saying Binance was hacked. Again, I'm really impressed at the Binance team, and I can't say it enough. The way they responded, within minutes, they replied and gave out their wallet info so that anyone who wanted, and anybody who really, really wanted to, could follow the trail and actually see that there was no hack involved. It spoke volumes that they went toe-to-toe with McAfee and called him out on Twitter. That's not all. They used the blockchain to prove McAfee was basically doing nothing but spewing bullshit. So, what was really going on? Binance had some server issues while trying to do a simple upgrade that shouldn't have required any downtime and normally wouldn't even have been noticed by you and I, the end user. But things tend to go wrong when you least expect it. And that's exactly what happened in this case. Now, because McAfee couldn't log into his Binance account, he started throwing a tantrum like a five-year-old and spreading false information through his Twitter account. If we all have been following John McAfee's Twitter, it's safe to say that he sensationalizes almost everything that is crypto-related. As a matter of fact, the thing that really irritated me was how he posted a doctored screenshot that looked like Binance was admitting to a hack. This is just simply irresponsible and honestly disgusting, in my opinion. As a community, we want to see cryptocurrencies succeed and thrive. And this type of behavior, rumor spreading, sensationalizing, enhancing fear, or creating doubt, or maybe in McAfee's case, trying to make more Twitter followers or add more publicity or fame to whatever he has going on, is doing exactly the opposite. I can't say it enough, but the way the Binance team responded has made me really like the exchange and trust it even more. Now, they were transparent in what they were doing and what was going on. They gave us updates and they gave us an expected time of their exchange to be back up and running. But something that one of the exchanges in the past, I will not name who, went down, just went dark. They didn't even bother to update their subscribers or their users. Guys, this is uncharted territory. And this exchange has done a damn good job in taking care of its customers first. To that, I say good on you, Binance. Not only that, as an apology to their customers, what they did was they gave their customers 70% off on all trading fees for the next 2 weeks from the point that they had gone back online. And now that Binance is back online, guys, let's get back to trading. Since we are talking about exchanges, let's take a look at Coinbase and how they plan on staying current. So this week, Coinbase announced that it would officially complete the process of integrating Segregated Witness. Now, you and I may know it as SegWit, by the end of February. So if you don't know about SegWit and the Lightning Network and what all that is you can go to Crypto 101, which is found at the Crypto Coin Guru website. That's CryptoCoinGuru.net, and get up to speed on what both of those advances are. But for those of us that already know this, what this would mean is a faster transaction time And more so than that, a substantial reduction in Bitcoin's transaction fees. That's not all. Coinbase posted on its Twitter account that they were actively looking for senior software engineers to do open source work on core protocols like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the Litecoin network. Now, I like this because Coinbase, the major on-ramp for most people to the crypto world, is looking at bettering itself. And what that tells me is that we are on a long haul towards nothing but cryptocurrencies being mass adopted. Remember, at this moment in time, we are the minority. You and I, who are trying to understand this technology or who are invested in this technology, we are the minority. And this is good news because this is going to, again, open up those lanes and really expose people to cryptocurrency and make it better for them as well as us. All right, guys. I also want to talk about what happened this Monday. This Monday, Microsoft revealed its plans to integrate blockchain-based decentralized IDs, or DIDs, into its Microsoft Authenticator app to manage identity data and cryptographic keys. What does that mean? Well, the app was launched in August of 2016 and is used by millions already. And Microsoft is looking to provide a new model of digital identity that would not be controlled by a centralized institution and would guarantee full private data storage, enabling you and I, the individual, to have full control of all the elements of their digital identity. Now, after considering a number of standards for decentralized identity systems, Microsoft reports that they decided that the blockchain technology and protocols were well suited for the task, stating that, quote, some public blockchains like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin, to name a select few, provide a solid foundation for routing DIDs, or DIDs, recording DPKI operations, and anchoring attestations. Now, this is something that's going to be really interesting, and I want to keep my thumb on the pulse for this one, and we're going to follow this one along and see where it exactly leads on to. But along the lines of Microsoft, I also want to take a look at Comcast. Well, why Comcast? Because Comcast Ventures is investing in blockchain startups that invest in blockchain startups. What? I'll say it again. They're investing in blockchain startups that invest in blockchain startups. Yep, that's right. With some very specific goals, though. The firm last month joined IBM and Bold Start Ventures in backing accelerator M State, which invests in startups building enterprise blockchain solutions. Further, Comcast Ventures revealed a recent strategic investment in blockchain ventures, a fund that invests in enterprises that have built technology using existing centralized protocols, but that might be in for a decentralized upgrade sometime soon. Now, this is interesting, especially considering Comcast likes to hold on and control everything. The fact that they're looking into decentralization tells me that, guys, cryptocurrency and blockchain technology is not going to die out anytime soon, and these guys either have to get on board or become like the dinosaurs, and that is extinct. So moving on here, the one thing I did want to take a look at was this really interesting thing. So as I was reading Bloomberg, there was an interview with Western Union's chief financial officer, Raj Agrawal. WU, or Western Union, basically stated that it is testing transactions with the use of Ripple's blockchain-based settlement system. Now, Western Union confirmed that it is testing Ripple following more than a month of rumor-fueled speculations that began in early January. The announcement comes after Western Union reported its 2017 results, claiming that its revenue was basically $1.4 billion, a 5% increase over the previous year. Why did Western Union decide to look into Ripple? Well, in order to facilitate money transfers, particularly the cross-border ones. Ripple's CEO claimed that Western Union's choice in Ripple is because Ripple allows for transactions that are, quote, 1,000 times faster and 1,000 times cheaper than Bitcoin. Now, we already knew that, guys. What I'm interested in finding out is Ripple faster than Litecoin? Almost anything out there is faster than Bitcoin, but again, Bitcoin is a storage currency. You and I wouldn't go out and buy our coffee at Starbucks using a bar of gold. It's bulky, and it's heavy, and it's just not a transactional currency. That's why we use the US dollar, or in my case, a credit card. So this is almost a moot or a ridiculous comparison. What I really want to know is Ripple faster than Litecoin or Ethereum or NEO or any of the other altcoins out there? And that's when we're going to be, when we get to see the apples to apple conversion. Now, since we're already talking about Ripple, let's just mention this as well. This was in the news. Saudi Arabia Central Bank partnered up with Ripple, and they also partnered up because they want to do cross-border payments using a blockchain software. So as much as I don't like Ripple because it's centralized, I do have to admit they are getting out there and making a case for real-world use. And I'm big on that. I'm currently struggling with this concept of whether I should invest into Ripple just to make a little bit of money so I could hedge more into Bitcoin, or I can gain more traction into Bitcoin or any of my other altcoins. But again, this is a moral dilemma I'm having. If you're invested in Ripple, by all means, good on you, because you know that price is going up and you're making money. So when it comes to that, well, kudos to you guys. Well done. I really have to dive into this and see if this is something that I want to do, if I'm willing to do this or not. You never know. Maybe in the near future, I will have some stake in XRP and I'll make that money and I'll dump it on over to Litecoin or Ethereum or something else. Well, speaking about something else, Litecoin, the fifth largest cryptocurrency by market cap, ended up surging upwards to about 50% on Tuesday morning. And today, it's still holding pretty strong and steadily. I mean, if we look at the markets here today, we're looking at Bitcoin sitting around the 10,000 mark at exactly 10,812, Ethereum at 943, and Litecoin at 220. Now, Litecoin's price increase has largely been driven by the announcement that LitePay, which is supposed to be an instantaneous payment processor allowing vendors to instantly convert Litecoin transactions into fiat currency, is supposed to launch on February 28th. Now, the future of LitePay means Litecoin users will be able to convert Litecoins into dollars and dollars into Litecoin through their Visa-compatible LitePay cards, which will be usable at all ATMs or businesses that support Visa payments. Personally, I don't think that's the reason why we've seen this surge. I think people are forgetting to address is that today, or actually not today, tomorrow, Sunday, February 18th at about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there's supposed to be a fork of Litecoin. Now, the new coin Litecoin Cash is promising Litecoin holders 10 Litecoin Cash for every Litecoin they hold. In all honesty, I think that's a little ridiculous. I think that's not really going to hold much of value, but I could be wrong. Now, the fork currency is piggybacking off of the Bitcoin Cash saga, and Litecoin Cash, let me just say this much. Could we at least not have thought of a better name? Litecoin Cash, really? Can we be a little more original? But anyways, the Litecoin Cash website states that the Litecoin or the coin will be governed by Bitcoin's SHA-256 algorithm instead of what Litecoin uses, which is a script algorithm to verify transactions. The hard fork is scheduled for, like I said, tomorrow, Sunday, February 18th, at about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Litecoin block 1,371,111. However, Charlie Lee, the creator of Litecoin, as well as the developing team, has released a statement stating, quote, "The Litecoin team and I are not forking Litecoin. Any forks that you hear about is a scam trying to confuse you or think it's related to Litecoin." Now, what do I think about this personally? I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think Bitcoin Cash is ridiculous, or Bcash, but at least when Roger Ver was doing the fork, he had a vision in mind, something that he wanted to fix or correct, and that was transaction times as well as transaction fees and prices of Bitcoin, as well as he had this idea that Bitcoin was no longer following the roadmap of Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper. Though in Litecoin's case, that's what I don't understand. Fees are nominal, a percentage of a penny almost, and the transaction time is fast. So exactly what is it that they're trying to accomplish? Though I do know that one thing for sure, we will be able to mine or use older processors and chips to mine for Litecoin Cash. Though that might be a decent thing, since if I do end up doing that, I would mine Litecoin Cash and then convert it over to Litecoin or something else that's usable, or as I call it, real cryptocurrency. But again, I'll take it. It's free money. For every one Litecoin, we get 10 Litecoin Cash. So that means if you hold one Litecoin, you're going to be sitting on 10 Litecoin Cash. My strategy personally is I'm going to take half of that Litecoin Cash and purchase, convert it over to Litecoin, get more Litecoin. And the other half, I'm just going to let it sit there. If it does do something, if Litecoin Cash does become something big, then I'll have stake in it. If not, no harm, no foul. It was money that I didn't spend. It was money given. And that's pretty much it where that one's concerned. But we're going to have to keep an eye on this one and see where it goes. Honestly, guys, this isn't financial advice, or I'm not a financial advisor. So just, you know, do your research, invest wisely and diligently. I have to say that, you know, for all the legal reasons out there. All right, guys, moving on. Let's talk about something really interesting here. So, Ellen DeGeneres. If you don't know who Ellen DeGeneres is, you guys really need to crawl out from under that rock that you're hiding in. But anyways, in a segment of her popular television show this week, which averages almost 3 million viewers per episode, Ellen spent several minutes speaking about the non-physical nature of Bitcoin and Bitcoin wallets or crypto wallets, as well as touching on its volatility. She basically started out this whole bit with, quote, "You're probably thinking, Ellen, if I can't physically touch it, where can I keep my Bitcoin? In a digital purse?" Which is funny. And that's exactly how she segued into her cryptocurrency wallet segment. As Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have entered the mainstream consciousness, so we can say, there's been a lack of education among investors regarding even their most elementary principles, which have caused major headaches for the businesses. Exchanges in particular have seen a lot of technical difficulties and considerable staff shortages due to the need to address new users, or a mass influx of new users who don't understand what it is, don't really understand how it works. So Brian Armstrong, the CEO of the largest US wallet provider Coinbase, produced a dedicated post this week on its HR practices after facing months of criticism over its inability to serve customer queries. Though nonetheless, the good thing about Ellen DeGeneres shedding some light onto Bitcoin is that she found it necessary and in a comedic manner, which I think Bitcoin and cryptocurrency enthusiasts welcomed openly, to talk about cryptocurrencies. This on the heels of Katy Perry and her crypto nails, as well as 50 Cent and his how many Bitcoins he holds. As more and more of these celebrities are jumping onto the bandwagon, we're finding out that there has been a better understanding of it. It's almost as if as the celebrities advocate Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, more people get comfortable with it. And as comfort increases, more people tend to join us into the cryptocurrency sphere. And that means more volume, and more volume means more money. And that's a great thing. And better than that is the fact that more people are starting to understand that there is a use for this technology and possibly will start to use it. And that's what we really want. We want mass adoption. Now, the reaction to Ellen DeGeneres' basic description of Bitcoin further highlighted the distance still to go between the comparatively small segment of society using crypto and then those who have yet to interact with it in any form or manner. Now, I also found out that she went through it and talked about how Bitcoin works kind of like the stock market. And, you know, she used humor to educate a population group that we would not have been able to touch. Bearing in mind, I know we're in the infancy of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, but the majority of investors right now are men. The majority of the 3 million viewers are women. So we really need to reach out to that demographic, and she did that for us. So I think that's great. If these people start to understand, if this group of people actually start to realize the benefits of it and get fascinated by cryptocurrency through Ellen, I think they're going to go out and research it. Once they research it and try to find out more about it, they're going to eventually get involved in it. And like I said before, I welcome the volume. I definitely do, because what that means is Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are on their way all the way up. That's right. That's exactly what I said. they're on their way up. And what can be better than that? Well, there could be one more thing that's a little bit better than that, that we will not see crypto regulation anytime soon, according to the White House official. So a White House official stated on Friday that legislation around cryptocurrencies is highly unlikely to materialize anytime soon. Speaking with CNBC at the Munich Security Conference, the White House Cybersecurity Coordinator and Special Assistant to the President, Bob Royce, offered his assessment and basically stated that among a recent flurry of discussion on crypto regulation, which is playing between the Senate hearings and enforcement actions and public op-eds, he thinks that they're still absolutely, they're just studying and understanding what the good ideas and bad ideas in that space are. So he really doesn't think that it's close to being regulated. Now, echoing previous comments from the U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, Joyce stated that his more immediate concern was with the criminal usage of Bitcoin. He empathized with what he considered the irreversibility of Bitcoin transactions. It's a type of characteristic of how the network functions to be a little troubling. He went on to say that, quote, "We are worried there are benefits to the Bitcoin concept, digital cash, digital currencies." He said, "But at the same time, if you look at the way Bitcoin works after there's a criminal act that takes place, you can't rewind the clock and take back that currency. We haven't figured that out yet," he added. "So it's a problem." One U.S. Treasury official basically called on the international community to help take action against cybersecurity threats in a speech earlier this week and asserted that a globally coordinated effort is basically the only way to prevent quote-unquote rogue regimes and terrorists from exploiting the technology. Now, before we go on, I just want to bring to your attention the fact that what currency is used the most for nefarious reasons? And one would think, well, Monero? Litecoin? Dash? No, it's actually cash. Yeah, cold hard cash. So if the government is really worried about stopping terrorists or stopping nefarious activity, what they really need to do is get a handle on cash. That should put things into perspective. I think that regulation is good. Overregulation is going to be extremely bad. So this speaks volumes to me, and it says that this is a good thing that the government is going to take a look at it. And right now they're really concerned about ICOs. What about it? They're wanting to regulate ICOs so that ICOs aren't stealing money from you and I, the consumer, the investor, because there are some ICOs out there that are just that, and that is scams or scam coins, or sometimes we call them shit coins. But they also want to take a look at nefarious use of Bitcoin. That's going to be their major focus. So for the time being, I think that's a great thing. I think that slow and steady progression into regulation is always a good thing. What we're going to do is we're going to stop right here, guys. That's it for this week. And if you want to check out more info on altcoins, altcoin education, you can always go to cryptocoinguru.net, become a member, check out the technical analysis broken down into everyday words, layman terms, altcoin analysis. We're going to be doing a lot more of that as we pass February and walk into March here. And remember, it's not about helping people get rich quick. It's about helping them grow their wealth. If you're already a member, by all means, help someone else out. Teach them how to invest properly. Point them over to our free podcast and help them become a member. So if you're a member, awesome. If you're not, join the CCG family. And with that, guys, episode 7 is in the can. So happy investing, crypto on, and this is Coin Guru signing out and saying we're headed all the way up. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.